Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Just in this morning, a plane has crashed in northwest India. It was on its way to Gatwick Airport in London. Hundreds of people on board. Smoke can be seen billowing from the crash site in a residential area in the town of Ahmedabad. Still waiting for more information at this hour. Across the U.S., protests over mass arrests of immigrants and ICE raids. It's a sound in San Antonio, Texas. ABC's Maria Riavial has been talking with the mayor.
He says there has been absolutely no coordination between the state, the governor's office, the National Guard, and his local leadership or his office. But he also says that is not a surprise. He actually talked about the alignment between Governor Abbott and the president, basically saying that when it comes to immigration, they are on the same path here.
Governor Abbott has mobilized the National Guard in Texas. The State Department ordering a partial evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad as Iran vows to strike military bases in the region. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Many birthdays in one's life are milestones. There is turning 10, which is double digits, 21, you can get into bars legally, and 35, you can be president. For actress Elizabeth Hurley, turning 60 means she gets to post a pic on social media appearing in her literal birthday suit. That's right, naked at 60 and on social media are words that are typically abhorrent at best, but not for 0.00001% of the population, and that is Elizabeth Hurley and probably three other people. Hurley has starred in such films as Charlie's Angels, Austin Powers, and of course, Christmas in the Caribbean. This birthday story gets a little weirder when her son commented on the photo, saying, "Happy birthday, Mama." So sweet. Again, probably 0.0001% of kids that wouldn't be mortified at a naked picture of a 60-year-old parent on Instagram. And to make things even weirder, and before you think you might have a shot, fellas, she's dating Billy Ray Cyrus, who calls her the love of his life. Who else has an achy, breaky heart right now? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bombs away at minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Where the Packers held minicamp practice, a 70-yard bomb from quarterback Jordan Love to wide receiver Mecole Hardman for a touchdown. Hardman won three Super Bowls with the Chiefs, but struggled while with the Jets. I asked him what he hoped for here in Green Bay.
The new opportunity, you know, I think it's one of those, like, fresh starts. And, you know, the Packers just, you know, welcomed me with, you know, open arms and giving me the opportunity to go out there and showcase my skills. And, you know, it's good enough for me, and I just got to go out there and, you know, take advantage of it.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder 116-107 to go up 2-1 in the best of seven series. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton.
There's going to be ebbs and flows. So seeing where I could be better is important through the first two games and just trying to be better today.
Baseball. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski makes his major league debut tonight against the Cardinals. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
This week, I'm flipping the script on Nightlight's own Pete Schwabba.
I'm very uncomfortable with this.
It's going to be so good.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible, especially later today. Our high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, showers likely 56. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, the Wisconsin Policy Forum drops a bombshell report on the impacts of the big, brutal bill in Wisconsin. I'm joined by their communications director, and we break it down.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, the stars were out last night, and I am not talking about the weather. Welcome to a Thursday morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Our team was on hand at the Alliant Energy Center here in Madison for the 96th annual State FFA Convention that draws to a conclusion today. Last evening, the stars of Wisconsin FFA were introduced. We've got the details for you. Also, the new officer team has been announced. We'll find out who the president will be today. A lot of things going on, and we're so glad that you're sharing your morning with us so we can help you understand. Well, we'll be understanding the markets this morning with our friend Katie Burgess from EverAg. Did you know that the butter we produce in the United States is different than butter that's traded around the world? Is that an obstacle? Is it something we need to think about? We'll find out what Katie has to say about that. We'll find out what Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, has to say about weather. Today, we've got about a 20% chance of showers this morning. Daytime highs right around 77 degrees under a cloudy sky. Same situation tomorrow. Rain in the forecast. Cloudy skies. Highs tomorrow around 80 degrees. Saturday, chance of showers probably in the afternoon. Sunny in the morning, which is great for all our dairy breakfasts. And the classic green reunion happening in West Bend. Sunny on Saturday. Daytime highs expected to be around 80 degrees.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to outyield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
The 5th annual Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival is going to be here June 13th through the 15th in Beaver Dam. And this year, it's bringing in an international audience. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And today, we're catching up with Michelle Ovens of Ovens Peony Farm in Beaver Dam. This is the state's largest fresh-cut peony farm. Michelle raises more than 1,600 peony plants, representing about 100 different varieties. Her farm is going to be on display during this upcoming festival. And while her flowers are exquisite, there's even more to look forward to this year. Michelle tells us what's in store at the Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival.
The reason why it's a really big deal this year is because the American Peony Society convention is being held during the festival. It's unique that the American Peony Society members are able to participate because there's not a lot of peony conventions or peony festivals going on. So these members coming to the for the convention are coming from all across the United States. We usually have around 3 other countries represented. They'll be hand carrying their prize-winning blooms to the show, and there'll be thousands of peony blooms on display. The National Flower Show will be open to the public, free, on Saturday and Sunday, so that's June 14th and 15th. They'll also be putting on seminars about, you know, peonies 101, how to grow your peonies, all these different seminars directed toward the public. They only come to Wisconsin once every 8 to 10 years. So this is a pretty big deal.
Is it hard to move flowers around internationally? Is there any customs rules?
Some of the growers, like we have Carol Adelman from Adelman Peonies in Oregon, she'll be bringing thousands of peonies in. So hers will all be overnight shipped. But everyone else is just like, you know, they're a regular hobbyist. And so they just bring these little coolers, and the peonies are prepared and stored in these coolers so that they don't open up before the show. They're cut at a bud stage, and then they're protected in this environment, and then they're brought hand-carried through other customs or through the TSA and the airports so that they don't get damaged, so that they're pristine and the most beautiful flowers that you'll see on display.
Are we going to see something that you just can't see anywhere else? What will make these peonies so special?
I think that most people are used to seeing what peonies their mothers or grandmothers had in their gardens. These peonies are some of the latest introductions, and it's a full range. People don't realize that you can have 6 weeks of bloom cycle according to what type of peony that you're going to have in your garden. And all these different types, for example, many people don't know that there are woody peonies, that a lot of people refer to them as tree peonies, and they're absolutely gorgeous. Their blooms are anywhere from 6 to 8 inches across. The colorations are just about every color that's under the moon, whereas what we're used to seeing in the gardens are just pink, white, red, whereas the tree peonies or the woodies, they have many different colorations on the petals. They're just incredible to see. So these are the kinds of things that will be on display for everyone to see, is the latest hybrids, the latest brand new seedlings that are just now being registered. The American Peony Society is the only society, and it's done worldwide. So if you develop a new peony, it's registered through the American Peony Society, and everyone throughout the world registers them through the American Peony Society. So all of these special, brand new, cultivated peonies will be on display, plus all of the old time favorites.
What will you be offering at your farm over this festival weekend?
Oh, we're just loaded with activities going on here at the farm. We're kicking it off with our Thursday, June the 12th, is Picnic in the Peonies. And then that has been really popular, and we continue to do it because of how popular it is. We have individuals that are going to do painting classes. We have a floral design class in peonies, but unfortunately for the viewers, this is already sold out. In fact, for the Picnic in the Peonies, we only have 15 spaces left. So if somebody is wanting to sign up for Picnic in the Peonies, they need to hurry and do that before they miss out. There is the American Peony Society is going to be here at the farm on Friday, and there'll be different demonstrations that are going on. And so the farm will still be open to the public while they're here, and so that they can see all of these different activities that are going on. All the seminars that are at the high school, the Beaver Dam High School, are free and open to the public. That includes both the National Flower Show and all the seminars.
Just how many folks are going to be coming to the area for this Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival?
Yes, it's going to be an incredible year. Through social media, advertising and stuff, we're able to determine. Last year we had, even though we told everybody, you know, we're damaged, we skipped this year, we still had over 1,200, and the year before we had over 2,000. Right now for the Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival, there is over 10,000 people that say that they're coming to this event through the weekend. And of course, that includes the activities that are downtown, But when you have social media saying 10,000, you can expect about 50% of that. So at the flower show itself, we're expecting over 5,000 people to come and see these beautiful flowers. Record-setting event.
That's an economic generating event for the area. I mean, if you're thinking about people who will be staying at hotels, eating out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right now, all of the hotels are already booked in Beaver Dam. All the bed and breakfasts are also booked because this event on this Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival. So we've actually got three things. We've got the Arts and Peony Festival, Taste of Wisconsin, and then the National Flower Show. All three of these things are going on. So there is just a tremendous amount of activity and things for people to do. Visit beaverdam.com is the website for the Chamber of Commerce here in Beaver Dam, and they have a complete listing of all of the different events, the times, and if there's fees associated with them. So if you want to see the whole picture, not just what's going on here at the farm, but the entire picture of the entire Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival, it's visit beaverdam.com. And as far as an economic impact goes, it's just incredible. When we first started this, state of Wisconsin Tourism, they reported at one of their luncheons, they were talking about the farm here, and they were talking about 900 people coming to the farm here, and that generated over $130,000 in the community. Well, can you imagine if we have 5,000 people, what that generates in the community? You know, like you said, for gas, for lodging, for food, the economic impact for the community through this agritourism is just incredible. And that's really one of the big motivating factors for us to continue working with the Chamber of Commerce and the City of Beaver Dam to bring these events through agritourism to the public.
Michelle Ovens along with us from Ovens Peony Farm in Beaver Dam. She's getting ready for 3 days of festivities, June 13th through the 15th, during the Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival. Expect peonies galore along with grower workshops and tours, and don't miss the American Peony Society National Flower Show happening Saturday and Sunday. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're live from Oshkosh on Thursday, and we'll chat with Kate Stell and Bill Wyman from the Oshkosh Community Foundation. And Mike Dempsey gives us the details on the first Waterfest of the season. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
Washington County Fairgrounds in West Bend. Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, joining us this morning. You said you've been seeing the John Deere traffic heading towards the fairgrounds, huh?
Every place I go in the last couple of days, I've seen a couple of green ones on a trailer or some machinery and one tractor.
Yep.
And I know my friends nearby here that are John Deere collectors are all heading south.
Yep. That starts today, kind of runs through the weekend. If you need more details, we've got them all up at MidwestFarmReport.com or Classic Green Reunion. That's their website as well. Let's talk about this weather, Stu. Our talk text line folks are up and at them this morning, but not much in the way of volume in the showers that came through overnight. Is that going to change today?
Well, there'll be a little more today, especially in southwest Wisconsin. We get a little break. But it's more likely, again, some rain later tonight, into the day tomorrow. I mentioned yesterday that they were assuming here, all the maps were pointing at southern Minnesota, northern, far northern Iowa, and maybe just into western Wisconsin could be the heaviest rain. Well, now it would appear there is more dry air wrapping in and facing up or hitting that system from the east, and that could push some of that heavier rain a bit further north, maybe up toward Eau Claire and the Twin Cities, where things could be more wet as we start looking through later tonight and into the day tomorrow. Rainfall amounts have all been light. The most I'm seeing is a few hundredths of an inch. In fact, the big one is Madison at 0.07 of an inch, but the radar does still indicate some rain, and it scatters from Montana into southwest North Dakota, across South Dakota, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, and into western Wisconsin in the Eau Claire area. So western into southern Wisconsin with a shower chance this morning, you know, maybe a tenth of an inch or so further north. I mean, let's draw that line from Oshkosh to Mauston and La Crosse. And north of that, there's an air quality alert in effect. That Canadian smoke is going to settle in and could bottom out at the surface here as we head through this morning, especially that northern part of the state, and mostly that alert through noon today. But otherwise, we still have that frontal boundary kind of waving off to our south, Missouri, southern Iowa, into Illinois, another system moving east along that area, which will interact with some drier air. We'll bring some rain chance around again later today or into the nighttime, and then later Friday into Friday night. There's even that chance of a little hit or miss shower activity Saturday for the most part in the afternoon, and even a very slight chance a little later Sunday. Not a whole lot of rain adding up for a lot of us, you know, maybe up to a quarter or half inch all told from last night on into Saturday. But in that western part of the state, things could be more wet. We'll watch that more closely and see what it looks like tomorrow. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage if you haven't already. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrota Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, that air quality alert in the northern half of the state. But today, a little shower chance in the south this morning. And otherwise, mostly cloudy. Could be a little rain in far northwest Wisconsin late today. The warmest in the south in the mid-70s. Cooler, maybe upper 60s in northern Wisconsin. East winds about 5 to 10. That rain chance, a small one tonight. Mostly cloudy skies. And we all fall back in the 50s, mid-50s south, low 50s, maybe one upper 40 in the north with an east breeze. Partly sunny on Friday. Again, some shower chance in the midday, a little more likelihood later in the day. That's where rain could be heavier in western Wisconsin. Again, some upper 70s south, 60s at best in the north. And even Saturday, Pam, some sunshine around, but maybe an afternoon shower, a very isolated storm. And temps probably in the upper 60s north, maybe mid-70s south, and still fairly mild, but a little sprinkly on Sunday.
All right, we're going to have to keep a laser focus on that forecast, not just for the Classic Green Reunion, the Peony Festival, but like I said yesterday, 16 June dairy events in Wisconsin on Saturday alone. So we'll definitely need the details tomorrow morning, buddy.
Mother Nature wants us to keep guessing.
Yeah, I wish we'd get a little bit more heat, though. Yesterday, the exception, huh?
Yeah, we'll get some again today. I mean, it's going to feel warmer, but yesterday was a good one.
All right, good enough. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. We now take you to a recent conversation on Matinair on Air with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy?
And one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, dozed, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers, and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that, because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles, you know, that takes a lot of those dollars directly away from the farmers, because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program is certainly connected to farmers.
Catch Matinair on Air live weekdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Just in this morning, a plane has crashed in northwest India. It was on its way to Gatwick Airport in London. Hundreds of people on board. Smoke can be seen billowing from the crash site in a residential area in the town of Ahmedabad. Still waiting for more information at this hour. Across the U.S., protests over mass arrests of immigrants in ICE raids. It's a sound in San Antonio, Texas. ABC's Maria Riavial has been talking with the mayor.
He says there has been absolutely no coordination between the state, the governor's office, the National Guard, and his local leadership or his office. But he also says that is not a surprise. He actually talked about the alignment between Governor Abbott and the president, basically saying that when it comes to immigration, they are on the same path here.
Governor Abbott has mobilized the National Guard in Texas. The State Department ordering a partial evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad as Iran vows to strike military bases in the region. This is ABC News.
Bombs away at minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Where the Packers held minicamp practice, a 70-yard bomb from quarterback Jordan Love to wide receiver Mecole Hardman for a touchdown. Hardman won 3 Super Bowls with the Chiefs, but struggled while with the Jets. I asked him what he hoped for here in Green Bay.
The new opportunity, you know, I think it's one of those, like, fresh starts. And, you know, the Packers just, you know, welcomed me with, you know, open arms and giving me the opportunity to go out there and showcase my skills. And, you know, it's good enough for me, and I just got to go out there and, take advantage of it.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder 116-107 to go up 2-1 in the best of 7 series. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton.
There's going to be ebbs and flows. So seeing where I could be better is important through the first 2 games and just trying to be better today.
Baseball. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski makes his major league debut tonight against the Cardinals. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Does President Trump have legal authority to send in troops when the governor doesn't ask for it? Jim Santel will break that down. Also, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, and we talk sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Don't miss
it. Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers possible, especially later today. Our high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, showers likely 56. Tomorrow, cloudy, cooler, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it is 60.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our broadcast lineup strives to bring you real news and great conversation throughout your day. Here's a portion of a conversation recently had on the John and Gordy Show with writer Mike McCabe about the history of milk strikes in Wisconsin.
You know, a lot of people don't know about the milk strikes of 1933.
I did not know.
Not taught in school. Not something that is on very many people's radar. But
well, tell us about it.
Yeah, in the area I'm talking about, where all this started, where the milk strikes were born, is today the reddest of red areas in our country. It is a MAGA Republican stronghold today.
Yeah,
and in the late 1920s and early 1930s, this was a hotbed of progressivism.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And farmers had it. They weren't getting fair prices. And so they just decided, doggone it, we're going to organize. And in Abbotsford, Wisconsin, which is not far from where our farm was as I was growing up, not far from where the town where my novel is set is at, farmers came together, hundreds of farmers came together to start to organize to withhold their milk. And then not too long after that, 5,000 farmers showed up in nearby Marshfield to continue the organizing campaign. And eventually over 100,000 farmers in Wisconsin had joined the milk strike. They were dumping milk at the roadside and on railroad tracks. And they were blocking, shipment of milk to creameries, to places where it was bottled or made into cheese. They even were blowing up some cheese factories and creameries with dynamite. They were obstructing the roads, erecting blockades to prevent trucks from getting milk products to Madison and Milwaukee.
Wow.
They just decided we're going to shut everything down. There's not going to be milk or any milk products anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This eventually spread to other dairy states across the country. And this strike got even bigger until it led to massive reform of milk pricing in what became the very first farm bill ever enacted by Congress.
Find out more about the John and Gordy Show and our entire lineup at civicmedia.us.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
I've done a lot of these things like.
The stars were shining last night, and I'm not talking about the weather. The stars were on stage at the Alliant Energy Center. The Wisconsin State FFA Convention had one of its biggest nights, celebrating some successes with our star candidates advancing to the national scene. Also, successful FFA officer candidates introduced last night. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke on this, the 12th day of June. Couple quick tidbits to share with folks today. Did you know on this day back in 1964, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life in prison for his anti-apartheid activist activities? Spent 27 years in prison, but it started on this day back in 1964. On this day, 1987, Ronald Reagan challenges Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down this wall. Just a couple tidbits for you on this day. Back in 1987, and now you know. Oh, I want you to know the Midwest Farm Report team was up late last night making sure that you know who the next slate of officers will be for the Wisconsin FFA team leadership. Congratulations to Harley Prill from Bloomer, Tanyelle Dukeman from Stanley Boyd, Corbin Weber from Cochrane Fountain City, Ava Ford from Prairie du Chien, Sam Mell from DeForest, Brooke Ludke from Partyville, Parker Smith from Loyal, Evan Retzloff from New London, Leighton Sabisky from Berlin, and Max Ludke from Beaver Dam, the new Wisconsin State FFA officer team members. This morning, we'll find out who the new president of that officer team will be. Meanwhile, Aubrey Schlimgen and Kylie Allen from the Midwest Farm Report team were in the audience as the stars of Wisconsin FFA were introduced. And that included Ashton Bruisvin, star in agribusiness from the Randolph-Cambria-Friesland chapter.
The stars are shining bright here at the 96th Wisconsin FFA State Convention as we have just seen the stars over Wisconsin be crowned. I am here with our star, Ashton Bruisvin in agribusiness. Ashton, tell me about your operation.
Yeah, absolutely. I started my SAE of agribusiness. I've had multiple SAEs in part of it, but it's mostly been my ag service and grain processing, excuse me. I started when I was 12 years old using my great-grandfather's clipper fanning mill. I cleaned about 3,000 bushel my first year for one customer, and then the work kind of expanded, and at the end of the year, we cleaned right around 6,000 bushel. I took my money that I made and reinvested into a larger piece of equipment to do more bushels because, we're trying to expand. So, you got to buy bigger equipment. And I cleaned a lot more of that next year. And then I invested in a mobile cleaner so we can go to farm. And that was kind of my cutting edge of being able to keep expanding and grow out to more and more farms. Last year, we just purchased a new gravity table, which is for doing a more precise cleaning of our weed seed for what we do for a few of our larger companies.
And people who you are doing this work for, what are they using that seed for?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of what I do is for cover crop seeds. So our rye and barley, some wheat gets used as cover crops, not very much. You know, there could be some oats. But majority of what I do, our farmers are drilling it back into the ground for cover crop seed and they're killing it off. So that's what we mostly do. What I do for a couple, so this year we have two companies that I'm cleaning for, and those are our larger scale companies that we're doing wheat seed for. So I just do wheat seed, and this year we're going to do a little bit of treating for one of the companies. So we're going to basically, they're going to bring it in right out of the combine, and we're going to turn it into seed that farmers get to go plant.
Very cool. Is that process any different than what you have been formerly doing?
So it's a little bit different. There's an extra step with that gravity table. Any of our rye or barley does not get ran across that gravity table. Gravity table is only for seed wheat. We use that for just our seed wheat, like I said. But the gravity table is all about, it says in its name, it's gravity. So the heavy stuff goes to the top and the light stuff sifts at the bottom. And it's really just pushing for that test weight and getting the light seeds out of there that our fanny mill might not have gotten, because our fanny mill shakes back and forth and has little slots and screens. There's some air that pulls the light stuff off, but not like the gravity table where it really separates based on that density of the seed.
Do you plan on expanding this project and continuing it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my long-time goal, is to continue being able to work for myself and increasing my business. Recently, we're working on trying to put in some soybean roasting equipment, potentially, just trying to continue to grow there. And in the future, I'm definitely going to be looking at buying another mobile unit and having one of my employees zipping around on that thing while I'm back at our plant in Cambria. I'm going to put up an additional seed cleaning and processing plant for strictly rye this year. That way our wheat and rye never mix. It's been something I've been wanting to do for a long time. But this year, it's finally the year of just, you know, no more cross-contamination, no more even thoughts of it. It's not my fault anymore. It's on someone else.
Right. Always looking to simplify a process and make it more efficient. So you mentioned having an employee. Is that something you currently have or something you're working towards?
Yeah. I have a couple of part-time employees that help me, very seasonal. But I think while I go off to college, I'm going to need to hire a full-time employee to be able to run all the operations at Seed Clean LLC. I think that it's just going to take a lot of stress off me at college, knowing that I can count on someone to do the tasks. But it also is kind of sad for me, knowing that I can't be there running my business. So it's going to be a kind of a learning curve while at college. I mean, every weekend I do plan to come home and, you know, continue to work. But it's not somewhere where it's like 6 o'clock at night, I'm zipping home, and then we'll be back to college by 12. It's just like I kind of said, it's going to add to a lot of the stress. I'm being at college and I want to focus on my studies and not have to be, I mean, obviously I'll be a little worried, but I don't want to be like day in and day out stressing about that and start failing classes because I'm getting no sleep because I'm working on my seed equipment.
I understand. You don't want to fail classes. That would not be a good thing. Studying ag business at UW-Platteville, what brought you to that decision for that major?
Well, one of the decisions is my dad went to school there. I was planning on not going to college until my mom said she was going to rip my seed clean equipment out of their warehouse because they own the warehouse. I own all the equipment. So I'm in a rock and a hard place. That was kind of the reason. I have a couple of friends that go to UW-Platteville, but it has a really good grain marketing, and there's a lot of connections in the local area that know a lot about the grain marketing side of stuff. So that kind of drove me, you know, maybe get some good internships down there or just have professors that really know and understand what I'm trying to learn.
So you mentioned that you started with your great-grandfather's piece of machinery. What was that decision? What did that look like? Was it a generational decision?
So I started Seed Clean LLC by myself. I mean, my grandfather helped me, but this is not like a generational business. Like, my father is not, he doesn't own anything of it. He helps me, but no. So it kind of all started, like I kind of mentioned a little earlier about I had a farmer, local farmer, that needed some grain cleaned. That piece of machinery was sitting in an old shed of ours, so we pulled it out. Our family just recently purchased an old Landmark facility to be able to, for just our normal corn and drying and all that needs. So it just worked out good. We had warehouse space, and we wanted to fill it up with something, so we kind of just put the cleaner in there, and it's taken off from there.
Thank you so much for talking to me. This has been Ashton Brucefin, the Star in Agribusiness. With the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Excellent. Kylie Allen, her second week on the job with us here at the Midwest Farm Report. Thank you for that, and congratulations. Ashton Brucefin from Randolph-Cambria-Friesland, our Star in Agribusiness. Other stars include McKinley Krieger from Campbellsport FFA, Wisconsin FFA Star Farmer. Hannah Olson from Adams Friendship, our Wisconsin Star in Agricultural Placement. Jordan Berg from the Granton FFA, our Wisconsin Star in Agriscience. We'll have stories with all of those stars in the next few days. Markets in overnight electronic trade for a Thursday morning are suffering with red ink. So is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Currently this morning, the December corn unchanged, 441. November soybeans are down a penny and a half, 1028. Currently July wheat's down a penny at 533. As far as dairy was concerned, yesterday barrel cheese dropped a half a cent, 185 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was down 2 at 186, but the AA butter did gain back 2.5 cents at 253 a pound. Butter has been capitalizing on the international marketplace, believe it or not. We are talking about butter and that international marketplace next with our friend Katie Burgess, one of the dairy risk managers with EverAg on a Thursday.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Have you been enjoying June Dairy Month? Well, if you haven't had a chance, now's the time to. It's Amanda with another new WISCO 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And this Saturday, June 14th, from 10 to 1 p.m., you can bring your family to a free event where you can learn all about the dairy industry. There's going to be a petting zoo with baby cows and goats, games, bounce houses, and did I mention cheese? Head to WISS.FM and click events to find out more about this Leech Amphitheater event.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes.
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome beauty queen and security expert Jenna Watkins. And then we grill pizza in the studio with Papa John's owner, Danny Bim. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
EverAg, and we're talking this morning about what's happening with our cheese market, Katie. Everybody's still very tentative about the world marketplace, and of course, the U.S. really relies on the world marketplace for our cheese and distribution. How's things looking this morning there?
Yes, as we look at the cheese prices here
today, they are down a bit compared to what we saw a couple weeks ago. So prices still very good levels, kicking out some good prices for dairy producers on the milk price side. But we're off the peak. And, you know, right after Memorial Day, people were really, really excited about our export opportunities. And I think exports are still going to be good, but we're also making a good amount of milk, too. So we have plenty of cheese around. But that being said, you know, we got new trade data last week. It showed April cheese exports from the U.S. were the second highest on record. So the export market in cheese is definitely a good news story.
And any particular region that we're finding big demand on the international scene?
It's a bit of a mix. So we always send a lot of cheese to Mexico. Mexico buying was still relatively strong. But the place where we kind of won extra volume to help supercharge that number was in April, we sold a lot of cheese to Japan. So markets like Japan or South Korea, they buy a lot of cheese, but their price, they look around for prices. Sometimes they buy from the US, sometimes from Europe, sometimes from New Zealand. But this year, the US cheese prices are the cheapest in the world. So we're winning those sales into Asia because we're price competitive relative to Europe.
Katie Burgess joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. She's a dairy risk manager with EverAg. Always remind you that they have got a full complement of folks that can help you no matter what you're producing in agriculture or the food business, ever.ag. Katie, let's talk a little bit more about the international marketplace, but pivoting from cheese and looking at butter. Butter has gone from being red hot one day to a little bit lower the next. Help people understand the dynamics of our U.S. butter market and the world's need for butter.
That is true. From a trading perspective, we've seen days where butter goes limit up, limit down here over the past couple of weeks. But overall, I would say our butter prices right now, well, lower than they were a year ago, are still good relative to the long run of history. But you're right, exports have been a big part of the story this year. So similar to cheese, when we look at U.S. butter values, the U.S. is by far the cheapest in the world. So the market price for butter right now is about $2.50. When you look at Europe, it's above $3.50 per pound. So like on the cheese side, we're winning those export sales. Here in February, March, April, our butter exports are been up quite a bit compared to a year ago. And so we're selling more butter, which has led to some of the days that we've seen higher prices. But at the same point in time, when you look at the fat levels that are coming off the farm in milk these days, dairy producers are making a lot more fat in their milk as well. And so this year, one of the other big stories has been that there's a lot of fat coming off the farm. There's been a lot of cream around. So we're also making a lot of butter. So the story in the butter market right now is that we're making a lot. We're selling a good amount internationally. And the volatility in the price has really been driven by which of those sentiments seems to be leading market discussions that day. So a bit of back and forth.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing about it, and I am still learning about this, did not realize that was that U.S. butter, I was going to say Wisconsin butter, U.S. butter is got different qualities than the world marketplace. Does that help us or hurt us, Katie? And is it something that the U.S. butter industry's got to address?
Yes, I mean, it's one of those things that means that if you're a butter maker and you're just making butter for the U.S. market, it's usually 80% butter fat, whereas international butter, the standard is 82% fat. So that means if you're a U.S. manufacturer, you can't just pull product out of the warehouse and sell it internationally. They usually don't want that. But because we have had so much fat around this year, what we've seen manufacturers do is they'll specialty make the 82% fat butter. And from that perspective, they're able to sell it to the rest of the global customers. But to your point, Pam, it does mean you can't just grab it out of the warehouse and sell it. You do need to do some planning ahead in order to win those international sales. So it's not something we see happen a lot because it is a specialty product from a U.S. producer perspective. But this year, given all the fat that's around, the manufacturers here in the U.S. have embraced that because it's probably too much butter for us to eat on our own. So looking for the international market and the international buyers is key.
Right. Katie Burgess, again, dairy risk manager, along with us from EverAg, ever.ag, if you want to find them. Let's talk a little bit more about where you see this international market going, Katie. Is there anything? I mean, we've had so many on again, off again deadlines on some of these tariffs. What are you hearing from the market? Or maybe it's milk production. What other things are you hearing besides just the cheese and butter trends?
No, definitely. So I think because exports are have been so big this year, watching any of that tariff news closely, because if we lose some access or if it's harder to export products, that could be pessimistic for our U.S. dairy prices. But then also watching carefully what's going on with weather and milk production other spots in the world. So New Zealand, you know, makes a lot of milk. It's winter there now, so they're kind of most of the cows are dried off for the winter. We'll have to wait till September to see what is going to come out of them for the next season. Also, watching Europe really closely, it had been dry in Europe and milk production had been struggling, but more recently here, they got some rain. And so watching that European milk production closely, because high European butter prices and high European cheese prices have been what's given us these opportunities. So if Europe starts to come down, that means our exports might shrink a little bit. But at least for now, folks we talked to in Europe suggest prices over there will stay strong. So hopefully that means good things for U.S. export opportunities as well.
On that note, Kitty, we'll let you go. Appreciate it, kiddo. Have a great day and say hello to that cute little boy of yours.
Oh, thanks, Pam.
All right. Katie Burgess joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. She is one of the dairy risk managers that's part of the EverAg crew, helping farmers, agribusinesses, and food processors all around the world. Ever.ag. And that's your little market update for this morning. All right. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. We're talking a little bit about field crops updates and some of the cool weather's influence.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A substitute farmer program in France. Today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. In parts of France, farmers can enroll in a program where if they get hurt, sick, or just need a little time off, the program sends in a capable substitute. Agnès Papon's husband was injured badly enough not to be able to work.
The occupational health doctor who consulted my husband told him is that he was doing the work of three people, and that clearly if you're doing the work of three people, you can't carry it on. So we were faced with this dilemma, how to go forward, and the replacement service stepped in and basically allowed us to save the farm.
Papon also serves on the board of directors for the organization called Service de Replacement. Pardon the Americanized pronunciation, which has 67,000 farmer members, 16,000 potential replacements, and makes about 300 replacements each year.
Having a replacement service that you can just call on and say, look, we're facing a disaster, is an enormous mental health benefit. In France, every other day, a farmer commits suicide. And so the ability of a farmer to say before they hit the wall that they need help is close to nil. And the need to be able to ask for help is obviously great.
Learn more on the show info page at NorthshoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from Shawnee, Wisconsin, where we'll be talking with some of the Democratic Party people locally about living in a red county in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. An Air India plane on its way to London crashes in northwest India. The plane went down near the airport in the city of Ahmedabad. ABC's James Longman is at the foreign desk.
This looks like an enormous tragedy, likely one of the worst aviation disasters in Indian history. 242 passengers and crew were on board this Air India flight when it crashed in a huge explosion earlier this morning. You can see the plane in videos that are online slowly descending before briefly disappearing behind some buildings. And then moments later, you see a massive fireball erupting into the sky. Smoke from the site is visible from miles around. Right now, firefighters and rescue teams are at the scene. But the plane seems to have come down into some apartment buildings, so it's likely there will be casualties on the ground.
King Charles and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer being kept updated on the crash. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner was headed to Gatwick Airport. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and